I've realized slowly that I'm having new obsessive thoughts about a fundamental aspect of doing computer stuff that we've talked about pieces of before, both on and off this show. But I feel like it's a lot has changed as far as this subject goes. And maybe the way we use our devices has changed a lot in ways that affect it. And I can't think of anything better to call this topic than the topic of checking, by which I mean like the sort of routines or routine places we go to see if anything new has happened, which is seems to me is one of the fundamental uses of the internet or ways to use the internet, especially since it's available everywhere now and on our person all the time. There's kind of two fundamental ways to get information from it, push and pull. You either go look for where the new stuff is yourself through some sort of routine, or it pushes things to you. And everything was push for a while when push was new and exciting. But as we've talked about in many different ways, I feel like push information has gone out of style. And since there's just way more of it, there's just too much to deal with that way. You know, like I've definitely turned the number of notifications I get way down, and the things I get notifications from way down. And one of the things I'm most grateful for with the advent of the Apple Watch is that you can sort of use it as a filter for like another tier of importance for push notifications. Do you use yours like that? Like I have only very few things actually make it to the watch. And then another tier of less important things go just to the phone. So I will get a notification about it. But if it happens in my pocket, I know it's not important. Whereas if it happens on my wrist, I know it is. And then another tier down of like, it just goes silently to my phone. So I'll see it when I check notifications, and that's what I'm getting towards. But I don't get notified about it unless I'm looking. Do you have like any tiers like that for your push information?
Yeah, definitely. I very rarely have anything pushed via other than text message. Yeah. I don't even really let phone calls get through to me.
Nice.
This conversation made me remember when, you know, a lot of Twitter was push. Like you would sign up to have tweets sent to you via text message or something like that, which I really can't fathom today. Although I did do it recently, not via text, but via its whole like push notification system where you can click that little bell on a person's profile
and then get notifications from them.
A single user's tweets, sent to you all the time. I did it for Kanye West because I was in town. I was in LA at the same time that he was having an opera, and I wanted to know exactly when tickets went on sale. So I clicked the push notification button just for him for a very short period of time, and then immediately also unsubscribed to that as soon as I had gotten those tickets. But yeah, I mean, it's texts and that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. The thing that I do consistently when I have a new phone, like when I got the iPhone 11 this year, I installed it as a fresh phone and I didn't restore from an old backup, is go through and like configure notifications, turn off basically every badge and turn off most of the notification allowances for push because who needs them?
Yeah. Okay. So there's definitely some things you and I do differently. But I think that they might actually fall somewhere in between this or we might pull for certain things and push for certain things and ignore or like leave off other things. I think this is going to be an interesting thing to explore. Cause I think that the checking, the pull process is actually the much more, revealing one for someone about like where they go and what they check. To get new information. I think push is like, you know, everybody's lives are different. Everybody's lives work differently. And every once in a while, Kanye's opera happens and you have to know about that. You know, push is like a much more incidental kind of thing. But I feel like I remember years ago, like maybe it was around the time that we first started having these kinds of conversations, 2012, 2013, at the sort of dawn of the idea that actually social media might be a complicated thing, not just the universal good. Or maybe it was a couple of years after that when I was thinking about the book and like everybody was really starting to freak out about social media and think it was this like addictive plague on humanity. But there was a lot of talk about checking as the compulsive thing that people did, like with their phones, where they just found themselves looking at the same four apps or whatever it is. And if there's nothing new in that one, they go to the next one and going around and around and around and wasting tons of time that way. And I definitely had that feeling from time to time, particularly with Twitter. And that was sort of the dawn of realizing like, oh, I got to change something. I got to have a more minimal home screen, or, I got to start using RSS more or whatever it is. Like that was the first, one of the first things that I realized I needed to intervene in order to make my technology habits healthier. But it feels really different now, the way that I check, and much less troubling in some ways. I wonder, like, did that around that time, was that like a thing that dawned on you too, of like checking all the time, like not wanting it to be that way? Was that ever a problem for you?
Yeah, definitely. And it still is. Like, I'm a task-based, achievement-oriented person. And the appeal of opening and refreshing social networks like Twitter, or just like different things that are interesting to you, like the news, whatever it might be, is such an easy way to waste time. And one of the very first conversations we had on the show was about our first experiences with phones and computers and all of those things. And, you know, I have this recollection of seeing the Windows phone clunky, weird little pocket PCs years ago and being fascinated at the idea of being able to like pull up information at any time. So it's always appealed to me. So of course Twitter appeals to me. Like somebody that wants input, that likes seeing what's happening, that likes all of those things, is going to have an appeal and constantly being able to refresh and see what's new. That being said, it's an awesome thing to do when I'm trying to waste 5 minutes of time while I'm standing in line or, you know, waiting for something to happen. Uh-huh. It's a terrible thing when I can waste 2 or 3 hours of an evening that could have been productive. And then I feel guilty at the end of it because that achievement-oriented part of my brain never got itched. Instead, I just looked at what other people were doing for that entire time period. So yeah, I mean, I definitely have felt that wrestle for a long time. It's why I've felt the need in past times to get rid of things like Twitter. It's why I still feel conflicted about having social networks like Twitter on my phone, because of how much time I spend on my phone at this point. And trying to bifurcate it into different spaces, like, well, I'll only use it on my iPad or on my computer, just doesn't really work for me, because as time has gone on and this little supercomputer in our hands has grown more and more powerful, I've kind of stopped using everything else except for my phone. Like, when am I not around my phone?
Yeah. The choice of like which device to do the checking on, I feel like, is a really fundamental way of handling the sort of overload side of checking things. Like, where if you deactivate your Twitter account, you know, that's like one level of intervention. But then like you can have delete all the Twitter apps and only use the browser, or just use it on one device and not on the other device. And, you know, I guess the classic way would be to keep it on your big computer and take it off of your phone. I think a lot of people also who sit at a desktop computer all day have kind of the opposite problem, where if they have Twitter installed on their Mac and they're working on their Mac, they're going to find themselves procrastinating on Twitter a lot more, so they take it off of their Mac. I know Marco Arment made that app Quitter. Do you remember this? I don't know if this was ever a thing for you.
I don't.
He made a Mac app, a free Mac app. I don't even know if he'd ever made it onto the App Store, but it was just a sort of side project that was basically... you could pick from your applications on your Mac and set a time, an idle time, where it would quit the app if you were away from it for X minutes. So, you know, he would have Twitter quit in the background after 10 minutes or whatever it is, so that it wouldn't be in his at command tab switcher anymore, so that he couldn't like jump back effortlessly into it while he was developing. And I never really bothered with that. It's also been so long since I like sat at a Mac to do work all day long in that way. But that, you know, people come up with all kinds of clever ways to trick themselves into not checking things. And so like which device you use is a big part of it. But I think where I want to go with this conversation is that I think that the operating systems, I mean, I shouldn't speak with experience about any operating systems other than Apple's at this point. But like the operating system has taken on some of the checking job in a very important way, in a healthy, good way, I think. And so there are kind of two pieces of it now. Half of it is up to you and how you set your stuff up and how what services you choose to participate in the first place, and like what habits and interfaces you create around yourself to those services so that you can control your own behavior. But I also think that the operating system is starting to put information in checking places. I guess it's a combination. It's pushing information into a place where you pull it from in a much more sophisticated way in multiple places. And I'll just name some of those and then see if like any of these have changed your behavior the way that I believe they're changing mine for the better. The obvious one would be notification center, because now that notifications can be grouped by app and even within app by certain types, you can have notifications come in silently and turn badges off if badges are a thing. I know badges are a thing that stress you out. I find them extremely important, but only on a few apps, and I turn them off for most apps.
Yeah, no, they're terrible all the time.
Yeah, so like I think of them as terrible, but sometimes apps contain terrible things I need to know. And so like that's the only case in which I'll use them. And I guess there's like one other limited case where I really wish that there was like a less scary version of them, but like having a number on an app to let me know that there are items on the grocery list that I didn't know about, you know, like that's useful to me. But badges are a crude method. So I feel like Notification Center has developed into a place where you can pull information rather than having it pushed to you. And so I found myself starting to use the notification center as like the first place I go. And that has changed the kinds of notifications I allow. But like I have Apple News notifications on for a lot of things, but they don't buzz in my pocket every 10 minutes. I look at my notifications and I see a bunch of news.
When you talk about notification center, you're talking about the widgets, right?
No, I'm talking about the pull down notification area.
Oh, okay.
And the lock screen.
Yeah, the lock screen notification thing. But never use that.
But also the pull down from the top notification center, which actually can have stuff in it that isn't on the lock screen. You can have notifications that come just to that drawer when you pull down from the top of the screen, like from any normal screen, that don't show up on the lock screen. So it serves as a place where like it fills up with relevant stuff that you have a fair amount of control over what goes in there, but it doesn't ever have to bother you if you don't want it to. And also the new controls that make it possible to manage how much they bother you when they come in helps a lot too. You can tune them to not make noise.
Those are super good.
So I've found myself, rather than opening apps one at a time and going through that 2015 era like ritual of checking Twitter and checking email and checking Facebook, which I don't have active anymore. You know, like there were all these apps that I was checking, RSS. I still do go to those apps and check them when I'm ready to pull in a bunch of information. But the way I'm able to use Notification Center now is making me do that less. And Notification Center has a lot more granularity and more information at a glance about what came in that I get to decide about. And the fact that you can even like turn it on and off on an account basis, so that like some accounts give you notifications and others don't, like it's a much there's so much more control over what push notifications are at this point that I find them to be kind of a good substitute for actually launching the app. And clearing them out and not opening them is a perfectly valid option, you know? So that's the big one. It sounds like you don't use that very often as a place to check.
No, I didn't even really know that was a thing.
If you don't like notifications, and if you've been sort of like pushing away notifications for a long time, it probably doesn't occur to you as a way to triage the information that's coming in because you just don't want notifications. But like, think about the idea of silent notifications. Even notifications that don't show up on your lock screen, but when you pull down that drawer, you have a bunch of news items from publications that you trust. And, you know, I use RSS in this very high volume way where like if I refresh my RSS reader, I expect to see 20 or 30 things. But if I pull down Notification Center, I'll see 3 news headlines. And that's like so much more sane and doable than checking my Twitter timeline too, you know?
Right.
So that's one way. And then widgets, which you mentioned, are the other way. And between the two, especially now that the iPad can have widgets pinned to the home screen like you've always wanted, or, you know, to some approximation of what you've always wanted, I've taken care of a different kind of checking that way, where I don't get too many notifications from reminders or calendar or deliveries or things like that. Cause like, well, I mean, I do get some, but like, I want to be able to check easily what's coming up with those things without getting bothered by them, and have notifications only happen if it's something that I really need to know about immediately. So with those widgets right there, or just right over to the left on my phone, I find myself checking sort of my situational awareness of like what's happening for the rest of the day, where I need to go, how long in Maps is a great example too, like how long it will take me to get where I need to go next. Checking it in that widget form instead of opening apps and jumping around between them. And the thing I think is that's the best about the widget mode of checking is that it is the way, it's the only way to mix information from different apps together in kind of whatever order and priority you want. And that is way more efficient than opening your calendar app and checking that, and opening your reminders app and checking that, and opening your deliveries app and checking that, and opening your email app. I mean, I don't have the email widget, but you know, like you can kind of customize one glance or two or three scrollable screens of glances of all the things you need to check into one place. And I want to hear how you use widgets too, but sort of the summary of what I think is changing is that Apple, or you know, the operating system is creating another layer of usefulness and abstraction between the information sources and the user and our needs for information, our desire for information. And it's making me much less dependent on launching these apps that have their own hooks, their own design reasons to get me to keep looking at them for their own purposes. Like there are more ways than ever now in more places for me to get the information I need from them without kind of becoming subject to them. And I feel like it's really going well. Like I actually feel like my checking has been moderated a lot by this. And my anxiety about not knowing what's new is going down a lot because of all the different ways that I can be presented with this information without having to go in to the mess and pull it out myself. Hi, Internet friends. It's John here. Internet Friends is brought to you by my work at Ablaze Interactions, where I solve communication problems for clients who work to repair our world. I can help with information architecture to transform your website, content strategy to tell the right story and reach the right audience, and writing and editing to find the authentic voice of your company or organization, your product, or your idea. Ablaze Interactions has consulted for world-renowned events, political candidates, law firms, nonprofits, and great apps on the App Store. Light up your ideas. Go to ablaze.co and let me know if you're interested in working together.
For me, widgets have been not exactly the thing that I want them to be. Mm-hmm. They're closer, and there's a few of them that I use well, but I feel like we're just kind of in a weird middle ground with widgets where sometimes they don't, like, you have to open the app for them to refresh properly, uh-huh, or clicking on it takes you to the app as opposed to doing something simple. Although that's not always so bad if the information that's in the widget is good. But I mean, yeah, like a great example, the example, like the definitive example of a widget that stops that checking impulse and does everything right is weather. You know,
yeah,
like a good widget should be able to stop you in your tracks from having to do any kind of finagling with a weather app and just like tell you everything you need to know for that day or the next few hours or whatever it might be, and save you time, save you opening your phone, tapping on the weather icon, going to the city that you're in case it's somewhere different because you were just traveling, looking at the forecast, scrolling through, you know, the widget should just be there, omnipresent, telling you exactly what you need. And I mean, I love that kind of information. That's the kind of information that I want my phone to be able to give me. It's the kind of information that I want all devices to be able to give me. When I think about like the difference between the cool futuristic phones you see in a movie like Her, or, you know, I don't know, I'm feeling out of touch because the only sci-fi movies that I can think of are like old, yeah, like Minority Report or something. But you get the point.
Yes.
Is when you think of a phone in a sci-fi movie and you think of the phone in your hand, the sci-fi movie phone is like predictive in nature.
Did you watch Altered Carbon, the Netflix series?
No, I didn't.
Very cool phones in Altered Carbon. There's like a very good intuitive mix of voice and touch or gesture actually controls. Mm. And they there's a little bit of like a soft AR element, but it's kind of the kind of AR that we always imagine, where like it's not floating in the middle of the air as like this ephemeral thing. It's like an extension of a physical object in your hand.
And in that same way, I mean, that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I always try to set my phones up to do. In fact, I've done this weird thing that I've been sharing with you, John, which is I've made the weirdest home screen I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, are you still using that?
Yes, I am. I'm still using it, and I love it so much, and it's going to be a pain to try to talk about via the spoken word, because yeah, it's like, you gotta see it.
I really look forward to this.
Basically, what I've done is I found, I think it was David Smith, who's like a famous tech dude, created a little web page so that you could make a just pure black home screen icon that did nothing when you touch it. It just is pure black. Mm-hmm. So that instead of having to align your home screen to the traditional grid, you could have these black icons on an entirely black background, and then you could just decide to do whatever you want with it. I think most people decided to like get rid of the top row or the top two rows and just push everything on the grid further down. Not me. Before I tell you what I did, here's why I did it. So I recognized that I had a pretty meticulously arranged two screens of home screens, like, you know, the main screen and then another screen that had a bunch of other stuff in it. And then I threw everything else into folders, which is the thing that I always do. But even with that system, I was constantly pulling down the little spotlight thing, yeah, and typing apps names in, yeah, to get to them. And I don't know why I started doing that, but it felt faster, and it kind of was faster. But of course, that should not be faster, right? Like, yes, I'm often already at the home screen. That's no good. It's no good at all. And combined with that, one of the reasons that I was doing this is because I have all of these apps that basically serve the same purpose, like Books, Kindle, Libby, the library app, Audible, the audiobook app, that I never knew like where to place them. Like, I always have a Books app in my dock, but sometimes I'm reading a book in the Kindle app instead of the Books app. And then what, like, I don't know where anything is. Where am I supposed to put that app? And I remembered that the old way, and it might still be like this, but I haven't seen anybody use it in a while, the old way that Mac OS would let you have folders or stacks or whatever they called them in the dock on the Mac was that you would be able to like,
yeah,
click a folder and then this stack of different things would pop up from the top, right? That's, I'm remembering that correctly.
Guess who uses this extremely heavily?
Who?
Your boy, me.
Is that still a thing? Can, yes, you still do that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. After you're done describing what you've done to your phone, I'll tell you what I do in my dock on my Mac.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I had long abandoned that on my Mac, but I thought, what an interesting idea if in my dock I have an app like Books, and instead of having a normal home screen, I have these apps going up from Books that are all related, like Kindle and Audible and Libby. And what if instead of having to choose which music app I use, which sometimes is like an actual music app, or the one that we've been talking about lately, Endel, which is the auto-generating, I don't even know how to describe Endel.
I just read an article with an interview with the founder, and he described them as procedural soundscapes. Like, that's what they call them instead of calling it music.
So sometimes I want Spotify, sometimes I want Overcast, and sometimes I want Endel's procedural soundscape.
I really hope that's right.
But if I had them all just like in a grid, that'd feel messy. So what I did was I created all these different black icons, and I only have two rows going straight up from apps like Books and Overcast or the music app or whatever it is that I'm listening to. And it rules, because now in my head, I know exactly where the listening apps are. I know exactly where the Books apps are. Like, it all makes sense to me. And one of the reasons that I did this was because I wanted clarity when I opened my phone about what I can actually do with my phone in that moment. Because if I felt confused or muddy, I'm going to freaking reach for Twitter. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I've learned that over the last 7 years or however long it's been, that if I have a moment of distraction and there's not some clear choice in front of me, I'm going to do the thing that has the least resistance in front of it. And so now I've noticed, not always, but more, that I'm reaching for something like Books because it's there. And not only is Books there, but let's see, Audible is there, Kindle is there, Libby is there. Like, everything is all stacked up on top of each other. And it makes it way easier for me to choose to read a book because now I have these four apps that are all really appealing, competing with Twitter, which I don't even have on my home screen. It's just somewhere buried in my phone. And if I want to go and search for that, I totally can. It's a great system. And so I bring this up because to me, it's the same type of thing, which is, I feel like at this point, we know very few people who aren't enticed and entranced by the method of going on a little fetch quest or pull quest or whatever it is that we're calling these things, right? Like, mm-hmm. We are so used to going on Instagram, going on Twitter, going on Facebook, going on whatever social network drug of choice we have, and spending the day looking at the things that are custom catered to distract us, or, I mean, that's a negative word. It doesn't even have to be negative. What's a better word we can use here, John? To entertain us, you know, sure. entertainment. Like, it's not always bad to be entertained. I have been very thankful for some of the moments I've had being entertained, quote unquote, on Twitter. But I know that that's not something that I want 24/7. And I am trying to set my phone up in a way that allows me to get the types of information that I want better. So it's funny because what I'm hearing is that you're saying the way for me to do this is to create these notification center areas, to create widgets so that when I look at my phone, bam, there are the things that I need to know and I go no further. And for me, I'm saying, well, I know that I am set up to open an app. So I'm doing everything I can to open a quote unquote better app than the ones that I am maybe more likely to reach for. Mm.
These two ideas seem complementary to me, that like the benefit of the notification center management thing that I'm describing is that you get enough of a hit that you don't feel the need to launch the app at all. Or if you do, you launch it directly to the content that you've been notified of because you right. can tell that it's relevant. But that's only for the situation where you know what you need to do. And like that situation of not being totally sure what it is you need to do is so much more common. And your system is so elegant for that. I mean, it's too constrained for me to do that just because of like the number of types that I've ended up with. But like, I do definitely envy your system here. And like, I think it feels like an outgrowth of the last one that you came up with, which I'm still basically emulating, which is using folders as like labels for a section. The way I'm doing it now on my iPad is I have a folder on the left side of every row. And then, so that leaves me with what, five top level apps for each category. And the folder basically yeah. serves as a label for the rest of that category, and apps that don't belong in the top level go in there. But then you can see the little teeny versions of the icons on the first page of that folder. So there's a kind of second tier, and then behind that is a garbage fire. But like but it doesn't matter because you can't see it. And you have to go in and then swipe over in order to see it. So it really doesn't feel like it's cluttering things up. So that's allowed me to keep my home screens very tight, and I know exactly what each page is for. On the phone, I'm still using a system, which I think yours, right? With like two rows at the top of like verbs that kind of cover everything. And then I have a bunch of apps at the top level below that. But that's been enough to just have one page of kind of apps. And then I created a second page for distraction free stuff. Like just, it's basically just reading. And so there's, you know, news apps and public, you know, for various publications that I'm subscribed to, a few bookmarked websites, a shortcut for, to go straight to reading list, a shortcut to go to saved stories in Apple News, and books and, you know, stuff like that. That's on a second page with one folder in the top corner that says read. And in that folder is like all my various utilities for, you know, saving things to RSS or Pinboard or whatever. And then games is the page beyond that. So I have to swipe past, you know, my healthy stuff in order to get to my grindstone, which, by the way, I'm on level 118 of grindstone.
Ooh, you far surpassed me.
I'm going to beat this damn game. But like, I played level 117 for like days and days and days and days and spent all of my resources.
Are you the kind of person that's trying to get all the extra things like the crown and the chest and stuff?
Oh yeah. That I don't progress past a level unless I've got all three of those things. Yeah. Anyway. So basically what I feel like I'm doing is kind of a light version of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that spatial metaphor that you're using is so great. I mean, like I said, that's what I use on the Mac. I am looking at it right now cause I wanted to describe, what I do, but already I can see such a huge difference, which is that, the Mac is file based, not application based. So like the left side where all the apps are, like you can just have apps and you can have folders there too. I think actually, I don't have any, so I don't know, but I think you can do iOS style folders on the app side now. But the right side of this little dividing line, which is where the trash can is folders. And so the stack thing that, and it's been there for 10 years or more. Well, I know it's more because I'm about to tell you something really funny. So like, let's say 15 years, there has been this mechanic of like, you can have folders on that right side show up as a stack so that you can see, in like an almost 3D way, the like how many things there are, or if it's basically like there's nothing, there's one thing, there's two things, there's three things, there's four things, there's a million, you know, there's more than four things. But
right,
if you have it set up as this stack, when you click on the folder, it doesn't open the folder, it pops it up above the dock and then fans out all of the contents above it, as though you sort of like spread it out on the floor. And if there's more than so many things, it turns into a square, like 2D kind of pseudo window instead.
Yeah.
As long as you keep a small enough number of things, it does this nice kind of 3D trick. And what I have done for, I can tell you, it's been at least 11 years because because the icons that I have here say created November 21st, 2008 at 9:45 p.m. But I have a very strong feeling that that's just the time I downloaded these apps, these icons again after however long it had been, because I wanted to do it again. So I think it's older than that. But so 2008, that would be in college on a PowerBook G4, where I first got these files. They are these very lickable, very like early Mac OS X style translucent bins. They're PNG files that are like all, like seven different like brightly colored reflective bins.
And they go at the bottom?
Yeah. Well, so there's a trick. But so like they fade out into infinity. Like you see the front of the bin and you see the sort of top rail of the bin, and then they fade to transparent. So you kind of can't tell how deep they are. This is what you do. You create a folder, you create another folder inside of that folder, and you name that inner folder just hyphen by itself. Just a hyphen.
I remember this.
You put this PNG as the icon of the inner folder, and then you put the outer folder, which is downloads or documents or whatever it is, into your dock and set it up as a fan. So when I hover over my dock, I see the downloads folder, but what I see is an empty orange bin. And if there's anything in my downloads folder, it shows up as a like an icon, like a nice Mac OS icon of that file that I can see even the type of the file just from looking at the dock inside of this bin. And when I click on the bin, it pops up, and then there's like the bin with the hyphen, and then the names of all the files, and there's a button to open it in the Finder. And so I can see at a glance whether there's anything in that folder, and even to a large extent what it is. And it's so much cooler than dealing with like a Finder window that I have like a bunch. I kind of have created inboxes for myself. I mean, the two folders that I have are the downloads folder, and then inside of the bin in the downloads folder, I have another bin. So the downloads folder bin is orange, and inside of the orange bin is a gray bin. And so if there's something that I need to get out of the downloads folder, it's in the orange bin. But if I don't need to get it out yet, I throw it in the gray bin, and that's my system. So that's all just to say, like, this kind of spatial orientation for like where everything is so effective. And like iOS has, especially since iOS 7, although it's not like it really changed any features, it just like took away any sense of like physicality and depth. And like the iPhone and iPad have ever since just been trying to make us forget that like these virtual things represent actual things in our mind, or like our mind treats them as objects. And like you're fighting back against that in such a brilliant way. And I feel like that it's this is still like very germane to this idea of check places to check, because if it's all just like abstract information, we just go out into the torrent and get lost in it. And like, you know, we're sort of like fishing around blindly. Our only defense against that is to create this kind of structure in our minds and in our muscle memory of like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm not just like a floating brain in a jar. Like I'm a being, a meat animal that has to do things in the world. And this is my tool. These are my tools. And it gives you so much more agency in how to navigate all of this, to set it up in a way that just feels physical the way that you have. I think that that's a huge remedy to this. But I think that these like the notification center and the widget thing, I think that that works that way too, because it's like this drawer you pull down or this thing you slide over. It's already something. It's like a skeuomorphic thing. It's like a sliding drawer on the little desk that you have in your hand. And I think that's part of what's compelling about it to me.
Hello, internet friends. It's Drew, and I want to tell you about Keyhouse. There's a quote from Kurt Vonnegut that I read tucked away in an essay he wrote about the seasons, where he said that he thought that the idea of four seasons was a lie. Instead, we should have six. Fall doesn't move to winter, and winter doesn't move to spring. Instead, he thought the season should be like so. Summer, fall, locking, winter, unlocking, and spring. I believe there's a beautiful poetry to the idea that creation itself requires a time of unlocking before anything of substance can bloom. And perhaps you're listening to this message right now, stuck between what you're doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life, realizing that you might be in that cruel season of unlocking too. Find your own space for unlocking. Go to Keyhouse, KEYHOU.SE, and let's find the key. There's something that I've wanted that is in the same vein of both of these conversations that we're having in tandem. And I've talked to you about this before on the show, I believe, which is I want my iPhone and iPad to be smart enough to turn apps on and off, like bring them up and out almost of the screen based on the time of day or the type of thing that I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's so close to what we have with this. I've already forgotten what it is because I don't use it anymore. The screen time, I guess it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's so close to what we have right now. But screen time is so different from what I'm trying to get done that it's impossible to like hack it into the thing that I want it to be.
Right, because just graying out Twitter and putting an hourglass on it does not help with your problem.
Yeah, it's not helpful. It's not helpful for a lot of reasons because, you know, I could do the thing where I like make someone else have a passcode so I can't get into it. But then there are moments that I genuinely want to get into it for like work or something, you know, like that's not a great idea.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you just put your own passcode on it, then all you're doing is giving yourself four steps that you're inevitably going to break. It doesn't really fit. And that's after you've done things for a certain amount of time, where what I would want is like to only be able to use Twitter in the first hour of the day and the last 5 hours of the day or something. Like turn it off during work or turn it off during hours that I feel more creative.
Or just turn it off in work mode.
Exactly.
Like push the work button and then have it be yes. only work.
That's literally what I want. Yeah, I want yeah. there to be these buttons that, you know, maybe there will be a way for me to like build a shortcut at some point or something. I have no idea. But, you know, I would love there to be a work and a create and a relax button on my iPad and iPhone that completely rearranges apps, makes some of them disappear for a short period of time until I decide to get out of that mode. It would be awesome because when I'm around browsing, like just living life and having nothing to do, you know, I have no problem having Twitter and Instagram on my phone. But when I'm trying to freaking crush, I would not like it. And I've fallen victim to this at night a lot lately because I have a lot of different things going on in my life right now. I've been doing a lot of traveling. I haven't been at my creative highest because I haven't had like a lot of normal routine in my life. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, leads to some problems, right? Like when everything is constantly different, you're not set up to have like healthy habits. Yeah. It's just the truth of it. But like two or three nights now, I've been back in a very normal routine and I've just completely wasted my evenings, just completely wasted them,
yeah.
just doing nothing. And, you know, I would even prefer my achievement-oriented brain is like, at least watch a movie because then you can like log a movie. Yeah. Like that feels more achievement-oriented. If you asked me what I did between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. last night, I could give you no account for any of it. I have no idea what I did besides browse Twitter and do other things. I don't know what tweets I saw. I got nothing, and that's not okay with me. And so, you know, that's what I'm trying to fight against and counteract. And I do like the idea of Notification Center because I know that the thing that gets me, the initial hook for me is like, it's the weird question that comes from our interconnected world now, right? Which is I go an hour without being online and my brain asks, what happened?
Yeah.
What's happened in the last hour? Something surely has happened that's of interest, you know? There's something going on in the world, whether it's political or creative or whatever. Something happened and you don't know about it. Like you should go find out, you know? And I would like to be able to tell my brain, this is what happened and I don't need to pursue it further, which feels like Notification Center could potentially do.
Yeah.
If you like turned that on right, you know?
Yeah.
Swipe down. Here's three news stories. The world isn't broken. Okay, we can go back to doing the thing that we want to do and check Twitter later. And I don't have a system for that at all right now. And I don't think many people do.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, everyone is constantly asking that question of what happened, and they're just going to scroll for hours on end to find the answer.
The thing I love about this solution is that it isn't technically hard to come up with a good system. I mean, like it's as hard as anything else. So you have to think about it as it, and you have to think about your healthy information diet and decide what services to allow and what services not to. But like, it's like a million times easier and in the grasp of like 100 times as many iPhone users of how to do this as like, say, setting up shortcuts is
right.
Like it's, you know, there's push notifications are so well defined at this point that you already know what apps you have that you can get notifications from probably. And like you can manage to set up like the kinds of notifications that you want between the app's settings about like what to allow notifications for, and then the system's filters for it. And then like how to use the system to make them, you know, as high or low priority as you want. But then even on top of that, like there are other apps that you can get notifications about things that are, sure, they're like power user apps of Notification Center, but it's not like technically hard to do. Like the, like for example, and this is not a great example because people who pay for RSS syncing services probably are already pretty advanced, but like Feedbin, my RSS service of choice, has a separate iOS app called Feedbin Notifier that lets you turn on push notifications on a feed by feed basis, so that when the Feedbin service gets new items from an RSS feed, it sends you notification. And because you can put RSS feeds, Twitter feeds, email newsletters to a secret email address, like there are so many different kinds of feeds you can get in Feedbin that like I've used it as a kind of customized way to get like the Kanye notifications, for example, that you're talking about. But like, if there isn't such a simple solution as like, just turn on Twitter notifications for that person, there are so many other ways. Like if somebody's going to email me something, you know, or I mean, like you can turn on notifications for email too, but like, it's just another way of getting notified about one particular thing so that you know, but just by checking your lock screen or notification center, whether it's come in or not, you don't have to open your email inbox in order to find out. And there's, you know, so many other, again, you can just use multiple apps for the same service if you want to, and set up notifications for one and not the other. And you know, like the most hardcore thing that I probably do for Notification Center is if this, then that. You can create triggers for push notifications with if this, then that, so that when certain things come in over whatever service, the if app sends you a notification that has whatever you want in it, you know? So like it's a very powerful ecosystem without any like advanced computer user skills. It's just, you just sort of have to know what the resources are. You can get really far with that, but the trick is just like, letting it be enough, you know, like that's because it's not an infinite well, like pulling to refresh your Twitter stream is. So, you've got to come up with the right things to satisfy the itch. And for me, news and communication is basically all I need. That like, if I see that I don't have missed calls from my mother, and like the headlines from the major news organizations are not, there's an evacuation order for your area, or the world is exploding or something, you know, like if I get all that stuff covered, I know that there's nothing that important anywhere in the app world. And you know, the thing that's hard is that it's probably not the case for everyone that the news is going to do the job. You know, like Apple News is a good enough proxy for that for me. But like there are other kinds of news that you can't get notified by Apple News for. So, you know, but like all news apps have notifications. Like that's how the news business works now. So whatever app you use to get the news, you can use this way. So, you know, it's one remedy, but certainly it's not the whole solution, because some of what you're describing, that thing you did last night that you can't even remember what it was, like there's another drive. It's not just for what's happening or what did I miss. It's like novelty itself, right? Like the thing that these infernal attention sucking services that people have created solves for the basic human instinct is like the endless search for something new.
Absolutely.
When there are new things coming into you all the time, like that does something. But like when your notification center is clear, like you want to go out and find the next bit of novelty. And you know, that the way you do that is there's no system to protect you from that unless you create it yourself. There's another thing that Apple has done that it's doing very carefully, but I think that it's doing right. It's doing it very carefully in that quintessential Apple way. Apple's apps and operating system are starting to provide you with the kinds of rewards that social media companies pioneered in much less addictive, much more pro-social, much healthier ways. And, you know, the fitness example is obvious. Like we've talked about that for the whole time, because the Apple Watch is like this reward machine for like being healthy and doing the right thing with your body. But
yeah,
it's Apple has started to expand those kinds of rewards outside of the health app and related services. The one that I got today, which I had never actually gotten before, because I guess that will tell you how often I'm getting a chance to sit and read a book during the day these days with a 1-year-old running around, is I got my, congratulations, you've reached your 30 minutes a day reading target. And
right,
like, I'm not used to getting that sort of feedback from Apple. You know, like the service I used to use for that was Goodreads, and Goodreads was always like, okay, you finished a book. What are you going to read next? Like here are 28 different books that you might like to read right now, all at the same time.
And here's 40 people that have completed 75 books this month alone.
Yeah. But yeah. Look how many more books your friends have read than you have. Like, so like I almost wish that Apple Books had more social stuff in it, but like it has the basic thing that all of these achievement-based things Apple's made has, which is you get a little check mark and then you can share it with somebody as an image. And like, it's nice to be able to do that. I mean, they've gone beyond that with the activity app now. Like now it's like Drew finished all of his fitness rings today. Why don't you challenge him to a competition? And like, you know, I've never done that, but you know, like what's so harmful about using computers to like get outside and exercise more?
This is actually what I was going to bring up, and I've been like pestering you via text about this thing for like a long time. The whole like I want my task manager thing to have like points, active points thing. I have this desire of like, instead of just having a bunch of tasks on a task manager that all have equal weighting, to have like a pool of mana, to use like, you know, Magic the Gathering terms or something. And each of those tasks has a certain amount of like draw that it requires from me. And instead of looking at all the tasks and stuff I have to do today, being really honest with myself and my amount of energy that I have in any one day, and knowing that each of those tasks is going to take a drain on that energy more or less. And, you know, like back in the day when I was the most fastidious task manager user, which I have not been for a long time, I would have things like read a chapter of a book on my task manager, not stuff that needed to be done, but things that I wanted to be done that would make me feel better about the day's work. But of course, if I have a repeating task every day that says read a chapter of a book and I go 3 days without doing it, now I feel terrible for missing this to-do that I set up for myself. Like, that doesn't feel quite right. And I was thinking about this even today, how great it would be to almost have like, I mean, you're going to hate this. And this is, you're literally going to say, this is, you just invented the badge. And I know that I have in a way, but I almost want like a check mark next to apps or something when I've like done the thing, you know, how you fill the rings for workouts. Like, I wish that I could say, these are apps that make me smarter and better when I open them. Like, give me some feedback here when I do it, and make sure that there's an empty something when I don't do it. Because the books example is a great, because when you do it, it feels really rewarding. But of course, there's not really like a lack of reward when you now don't read a book the next day, which is, I think, equally important in like a healthy reward system. And like Twitter and Facebook, these people that we're talking about that reward us when we refresh, the answer to what the lack of reward there is clear, right? It's you don't know what's going on, and your life is now sad because you don't know it. Where when you don't read a book, you just didn't read a book, and it doesn't feel like the end of the world the way that not opening Twitter for an hour unfortunately does more often than not. And yeah, like that is a really interesting concept. And I know that there's like these habit tracking apps, like, isn't that kind of sort of what I'm describing? There's like the one that has a bunch of circles and you're supposed to check them off every day.
Streaks.
Yeah. I know that I could use that for effectively the same thing, but there's such a big difference between opening that app and having that as a third party experience, and like that being a core part of how these apps function and what makes you open them.
Yeah. Streaks has done everything they can to be as native as they can. Like, they've integrated every single system service under the sun.
Totally.
And like, but like the closest you can get to what you're describing would be having the widget up and then looking over there.
Right.
And like, it's still not fully integrated, and it's certainly not right next to your books. And like, hopefully, you know, I've been giving Apple a lot of credit for building towards this kind of stuff throughout this conversation. Hopefully, you mentioned screen time earlier. Like, that's what I hope they're building towards there. Like, I hope that they're not just building negative reinforcement. Like, I hope it's not just like something to brood and get anxious over. I hope that what they actually are working towards is some kind of concept of goals, and the goals, you should be able to define those goals in a very robust way. the way that you want to define them. You know, one of my big problems with the way screen time works is the categories. Like I don't find their categories. They're just the App Store categories, and I don't find them specific enough to like correspond to the kinds of tasks that, you know, like the thing we were talking about earlier with your stacks and my, you know, rows of like, we come up with the categories of activity that we want to do. We should be able to set goals for those categories, and like work in any of those apps should contribute to that goal. And like when that work is achieved, however we achieve it, like it should be a universal concept that we've like done our reading for the day. It shouldn't just be like a badge on one of those apps or something. And like that to me is so much more constructive of a definition of screen time than just like the minutes you spent staring at any particular thing. How much did you use the tools at your disposal to work towards what you want to accomplish in life? And how much didn't you do that? And how much did you wait? How much time did you, you know, waste or not spend on those goals? Like, that's very important to know, but it's not as important as how much time did you spend to becoming the person you want to be. You know, like this, my friend Dan, who is a drummer, rock drummer in a big band, tweeted something about, he's always tweeting about going to the shed, which is means practicing his instrument. And he said, time to go to the shed. Remember, if you get 1% better at something every day for a year, you'll be 37 times better than you were at the beginning. And like a bunch of people were like, how does that work? And he like did the math and it was really cool. Think about how mind blowing that is. Like if you can make 1% progress, it feels like you should be able to make 1% progress on anything you want any day, you know? And if you do that every single day for a year, you're 37 times better at it by the end.
Yeah.
And like, it's silly. It's the funny thing is the idea of quantifying what 37 times better at the drums means. But like that's not the point. The point is like practice toward like working towards a goal a little bit at a time is how you get way better at something. Mm. You know, you don't open the Duolingo app and learn Chinese right now. You do it for a long time. And like, that's the kind of support and motivation and information we need to use these tools that we have responsibly.